Psalm 136. Most of the time as we read through the Psalms, we are looking more at it as poetry or maybe just a word of encouragement, which all of the Word of God is if we let it speak to our hearts. But there's a lot of good instruction and good information in the book of Psalms as well. And tonight we're going to take just a few moments and speak to you out of this particular psalm and let the Lord just speak through us to you and encourage your heart. There's 26 verses in this particular psalm that we want to read tonight. I've entitled the message in relation to God, His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. It's one of those things that you'll find in eternity. You stand before Him who loved you and cared for your soul like nobody else cared for your soul. You'll find out that His mercy endures forever. Let's take a moment and pray. Father, tonight we appreciate Your grace and Your goodness and Your mercy. We do appreciate Your word, and thank You for this psalm tonight. So, Father, we want to take just a moment in this psalm tonight and let it encourage us and speak to our hearts. We'll thank You. We'll praise You, for we ask in that glorious name, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. For we pray in His name. Amen. Verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him who alone doeth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that made great lights, for His mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for His mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for His mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for His mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for His mercy endureth forever. Made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for His mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which led His people through the wilderness, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. Gave their land for an heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. Even an heritage unto Israel his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. Hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. Well, it does not take a great deal to see that this psalm is a call to thanksgiving, first of all. We notice in verses 1, 2, and 3, and then in verse 26, that we're to thank the Lord. And in that thought, his mercy endures forever. We live in a world that is ungrateful many times. But yet we are to be thankful for the Lord's goodness. You would ask me, I know, tonight, well, what do we see in this psalm that we would honestly say we need to thank the Lord for? Well, the first thing I notice in this psalm is the very fact that God in his mercy created. It's interesting somewhat to read of the creation as it always is. What little man knows about it and can find out about it. But there's a distinction made about planet Earth that is not stated about any other planet. That he made it inhabitable. We can live here because of his mercy. There's a lot of places that you can't live from a human or physical standpoint tonight, but we certainly can live on this planet. Now, whether these folks knew what they were talking about or not, you'd have to determine, but I think that probably it's true that our life honestly depends on just a matter of inches closer to or farther from the sun tonight. God is good to us, extremely good to us. And I want to mention some things here in this psalm that I see that I believe ought to be a point of thanksgiving. The Bible said that we ought to thank him because of his mercy, who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. God has done some things that nobody else can do. He has, as we stated, created. There's not another that has been able to do that, nor even to come close to duplication. Read in an article that came out in the newspaper and probably then in magazines and was heralded as a great find that man had created life. But when you come right down to it, he had only taken the things that God had made and dealt with them in a fashion that I think that God never really intended that man deal with creation. But nowhere do we ever find that man has been able to duplicate that which God has done. And in that relationship, we have the thought of the wonders that God has performed. We ought to be amazed tonight to see the handiwork of God. To understand that God can perform when none else can perform. Who would have thought of rain? Well, certainly we wouldn't have thought of it in the terms that it is absolutely necessary for the growth of crops that become the food for man and beast tonight. But God is great in His wonders tonight, and we rightfully owe Him thanks for what He has done. He alone, the Bible said, doeth wonders, great wonders. Man may perform some small things with the handiwork of God already that exists, but when it came right down to it, it could never be said of another. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Bible tells us that it is through our Lord Jesus Christ and by our God, in His marvelous hand, that He made the heavens. The Bible said His mercy endureth forever. This would be a rather bleak planet at night, especially, were it not for the light of the stars. Navigation would be far more difficult than it's ever seemed to be, because there's always been some particular heavenly body that a man can fix himself upon, his eye upon, and follow that and make his way through the sea. But God, in His marvelous wisdom, made the heavens. And then He stretched out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endureth forever. I don't want to just deal with that tonight, but I do want to touch on it, that if all water was above ground, there'd be great loss of evaporation. But since it runs underground, it's preserved for us. And pretty well you can find water somewhere. You may have to drill rather deep, but nonetheless, God in His infinite wisdom has provided for us that which we could not provide for ourselves. Then the Bible said He made great lights. And He speaks of this as a mercy. Each one of these thoughts as it's presented speaks of His mercy enduring forever. Therefore, the light of the sun and the light of the moon, they're by His mercy that they exist. Him that certainly made the great lights. The sun to rule by day, for His mercy endureth forever. I've never lived anywhere but here in this grand state of Texas. So I can only speak by what I have read, and those who have traveled and beheld what they call the midnight sun. if I got my information correct, and I believe I did, one of the great difficulties of living in one of the polar regions is sleep. We're used to daylight and dark, sun up and sun down. And I'm going to tell you this just so that you know how I feel about it. I think the night was made to sleep in and the day was made to work in. And when you reverse that order, it does not work real well. And one of the great difficulties of living, for example, in the region of the North Pole, close enough that for certain amounts of days each year, the sun does not go down. It only dips close to the horizon and then rises again. And folks make every effort to make it as dark as possible so that they can sleep, so that they can rest their weary bodies. And we're talking about mercy and gratefulness for God's mercy that He's shown. And then the moon and the stars to rule by night. There was an event a few years ago now that was broadcast and speculation was made that when all of the planets aligned, which is a rare occasion, but it does occur ever so often. As far as I know, it does not happen in more than once in a lifetime. But there was speculation that there'd be great chaos, there would be certain things that would just absolutely fall apart. And that day came and that day went, and nothing changed. Why? Because behind the scene, by Him, speaking of Jesus Christ, all things consist. And in light of that, in Him we live and move and have our being. I mean, we're what we are because of God. We could have been something else. And some of us ought to have been something else, but we weren't. God chose to make us as He did. But I point out to you that the moon, the stars, they have certain things. The Bible speaks of them as rulers. I'm not talking about a measurement. I'm talking about something that is in charge and rules. And they rule the night. The tides of the seas are pretty well governed by the moon and the gravitational pull of the moon. And if a man should ever be able to get far enough, then he'd need the stars, certainly, for navigation. But this is a mercy of God. We're just talking about creation now. We're not even into some other things that come down to planet Earth where we live and we see every day. Verse 10, he picks up a new thought. Even though it would be somewhat related to all of it, because all is related to God. But have you ever thought about God's protection? Given it any serious thought? He's worthy of praise. We ought to give thanks. Because of the very fact of His creation. It starts in verse 10 and it goes for several verses that the thanks is to be given to Him that smote Egypt in their firstborn And then it speaks of his mercy enduring forever. Now that seems like a rather strange statement and a harsh statement. But when you look at God's chosen people, Israel as a nation, God preserved that people. I'll guarantee you Pharaoh didn't have any intent of an Israelite leaving alive. He planned to either keep them enslaved or slay them, one or the other. But in God's mercy, he kept this people and kept it alive. It is the only nation on planet Earth that existed for just a little less than 2,000 years without a homeland and still maintained its national distinction. No other planet's ever boasted of that. I dare say tonight there's not a one of us that can claim any kinship to the Amorite, to the Hittite. And the Hittite was a tremendous civilization. When you begin to read of it and you find out they didn't do a lot of writing, but what they wrote, it speaks of it in the light of a great empire that existed. But yet it's totally gone. We come a little closer and Jacob had a brother named Esau. He had this mountain that he called his. There came the time of the Babylonian captivity, and God said that both the Edomite and the Israelite would go into captivity. But he said, the difference is, I'm going to bring Israel back to the land. Well, if you don't get the picture tonight, God's protection. He protects us while we're here, and he'll carry us all the way home. Not lose a one. In this particular psalm, he smote Egypt in their firstborn for Israel's sake. Now, most of the judgments, if not all of them, dealt with a God that was in Egypt. Whenever he dealt with the Nile River and with the fish of that river and the frogs and the various creatures that were there, these were things that the Egyptians worshipped. They worshipped the bull. This is one of the things that Moses said to through Moses to Pharaoh. He said, shall we take that which you worship and offer it as a sacrifice and you not be angered by it? He said, we're going out in the wilderness and worship. And old Pharaoh had finally come to grips with it and said, well, you can go. You can take certain things with you. The old Moses said, we'll all go. Man, woman, child. We'll not leave a hoof behind. It's all going with us. God has been merciful. And he is merciful. And you can see the application tonight, I hope, that as Israel as a nation, we as individuals have been protected more than we probably even began to realize tonight, and the thanks that is due his holy name. But you talk about mercy. God not only smote the firstborn in Egypt for the sake of Israel, but he brought them out. Now I'm thankful tonight that I have a salvation that does more than just save my soul. I appreciate salvation. Don't ever say this preacher doesn't appreciate salvation. before I was saved by the grace of God, there'd be sometimes weeks that I wouldn't sleep under conviction. Sometimes deep conviction. I've told you that there was a point in my life with that message that really brought me to Jesus Christ. I walked out the front door of that church and said, I'm never going to hear that kind of preaching again. That's just too difficult to deal with. But God is merciful. Not only will He save us, but He'll make something of us. We have a lot of folks today that have made a profession. They've joined a church. But tragically, their lives don't seem to change. Thank God for His grace tonight that has changed our lives. He brought us out from the midst of Egypt. He made us distinct from the world. I would hope that this lost world could see the distinction, the difference between a saved person and a lost person. It's the mercy of God. He brought them out from among the Israelites. And the Bible said, for His mercy endureth forever. He wasn't going to leave any of them there. He wasn't going to leave a hoof behind. He brought them all out. Now, there was a mixed multitude. That's another story, and we won't bother with them tonight. God smote the firstborn. He brought Israel out from among the Egyptians. And He did so with a strong hand. Do you know anybody that could lead a model crowd like they had? I didn't say model. I said a modeled crowd. I mean, they were nothing but slaves. And slavery has an effect on a person. It really does. Some of you are old enough to remember the story of Kuta Kinteh, I believe was his name. Ran every chance he got. I don't blame him. Not a bit. I'd run too. Every chance I got, I'd have run. They finally cut about half of his foot off so he couldn't run very fast to keep him at home. But God, in His mercy, was not going to lose any of them. He didn't leave anything behind, and He brought them out. He did so with a strong arm and with a strong hand and a stretched out arm. And then to Him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for His mercy endureth forever. I remember reading one of those funny stories, or amusing stories, I guess I should say. There was this simple fellow, he's a believer. He'd always be praising the Lord. And there's some fellows decided they'd begin to mock him. They brought up an issue and said, well, that sea wasn't but 4 inches deep where they crossed through the Red Sea, Israel. That old boy kind of sad faced for a moment. Then all of a sudden he began to shout. He said, this is a bigger miracle than I thought. He said, God drowned a whole army in 4 inches of water. God's mercy is good tonight. He smote Egypt. He brought them out with His strong hand and with a stretched out arm. Divided the sea, and He made Israel to pass through the midst of it. for his mercy endures forever. They need to learn something there. And he taught them something at the Red Sea. They learned they could trust God. Now that was no small feat for this people. Whenever they came to that Red Sea, you see, they had a dilemma. There was behind them an Egyptian army. There was before them the Red Sea. And to the right hand and to the left, there was a natural barrier. Where were they going to go? Right through the midst of the sea. And God taught them. They were going to need to know that they could trust God, because they're going to get out in the wilderness and there's not going to be any water to drink. There's not going to be any food for a time. And they're going to have to learn they can trust God. They got hungry one day and they began to cry out. Next day they could go out and pick up manna right off the ground. Now, for you ladies, I'll tell you what manna means. It means, what is it? And I often say, Reese cooked manna today. You think that's the last time? Might be. Manna. God fed them. They learned they could trust Him. They didn't learn everything that they needed to know, but they learned enough they could get by out in the wilderness for a time. Do you know there's a mercy involved in this? You and I can walk where a worldling can't walk. You look at Pharaoh and his host. What did Israel see? They saw that host dead upon the seashore. They tried to walk where God's people walked. You can't walk there without faith and without a living relationship in God through Jesus Christ. It's a place to go. So it made Israel to pass through. We're talking about now God's protection tonight. This is involved in it. And not only that, but then he smote great kings. There was Sihon, king of the Amorites. There was Og, king of Bashan. And the Lord just took them out of the way so that Israel would have a place, that 2.5 tribes that could stay on the east side of Jordan. I think they sold themselves short by not going on the cross, but that's between them and the Lord. God did what he needed to do to protect his people and give them a place to live. God gave them, in verse 21, their land for an heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. Even an heritage unto Israel, his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Then in verse 23, we find a shorter statement here, in the sense of brevity, but it's also full of meaning. Who remembered us in our low estate? God remembered where we were. He remembered where Israel was. They was down in Egypt murmuring and complaining. God was preparing his man Moses and his brother Aaron to go and deliver them. He redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Then verse 25. I tell you what, every creature on planet Earth ought to be thankful for every bite of food they get, because it comes as though direct from the hand of God. Giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. And the psalm then ends, O give thanks unto God, the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. And I hope you've been encouraged just a little bit by this look into this 136th psalm to see what God has done. Let's stand together. David, why don't you and the musicians just come and sing one verse. And if somebody needs to come, they might need to deal with some issues before the Lord. We want to have that opportunity.